Good afternoon. Thank you all for staying late, I guess. My name is Elliot Rounds. I work at Oklahoma State University. I am a research associate for Dr. Penn. I run his soil chemistry lab. And so we're going to talk about the plant and above ground portions after we close this lagoon. So the long-term objectives of this study is, one, we want to determine the feasibility of using the short-term rotational woody crops to close these lagoons. Two, we want to evaluate candidate species by evaluating their survival and growth rates, and specifically, we want to look at possibly adding value to the lagoon by producing biofuels. Three, we want to measure the rate of nutrient removal from the sludge by measuring the nutrient capture. And four, measure the changes in soil chemistry and relate that to plant uptake. This graph here shows, or this picture, shows our research unit. These plots here, the total is about two acres. And each of these little squares is 31.1 by 31.7 meters. The dark green squares are cottonwood trees, and the light green squares are your sycamores. The top of this plot faces north, and we've got four monitoring wells at the cardinal directions. And these groundwater wells are between 15 and 45 feet. After our dirt work was completed, they came in and they got everything leveled off. The sludge was encased and covered. This is what our site looked like prior to putting out any of the trees. And then this is 2 years of growth on the trees. As you can see, this gentleman here is about 6 feet tall, and so the height's going to be about 10 to 12 feet on these trees. So before we even got started, we took some soil samples, went out there with a 2-inch diameter soil core, and took soil cores at 1 foot and 5 foot. The 5 foots were divided up into 1 foot sections at 0 to 12, 12 to 24, 24 to 36, 36 to, okay, and it goes on from there. Sorry, math is not my, whatever. So we divided those up and we had 5 subsets of the soil cores. And then in the 1 foot, we divided that up into 6 inches. So 0 to 6 and 6 to 12. That math was easy. After we removed those cores, we were left with a 2-inch diameter hole. And that's where we installed these lysimeters. These lysimeters came from soil moisture. And these are porous cup lysimeters with a 2-bar porous cup on the end. And we installed 2 of these in each plot. One was at 1 foot and one was at 5 foot. We would sample these lysimeters after each rainfall event 2 days later. And the rainfall event, the trigger was 1/4 inch. We found through experience that if we had less than 1/4 inch, there just wasn't enough sample in the lysimeter. So we monitored the Oklahoma Mesonet Station, and whenever the still water received more than 1/4 inch, we went out there 2 days later and pulled the water samples. And here's another picture of installing these lysimeters. So getting into our analysis for the soils, those cores that we pulled out, we looked at total N and total C. This was by the LECO. And then we looked at total digestion, the EPA 3050 method, water extractable, and the metallic 3 extractable elements. We looked at sodium, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, copper, zinc, manganese, iron, aluminum, and nickel. We also did a potassium chloride extract for ammonium and nitrate. We also looked at pH and EC. And our lysimeters, these were water samples. We looked at pH, EC, the same elements, and then nitrate and ammonium. We also took some tree growth analysis. This was conducted by the forester on a project, Dr. Rod Will. These were taken about 2 weeks ago. We took tree height and tree diameter at breast height. DBH is a standard in forestry. They go out there with a set of calipers at breast height and take the measurements. Pretty self-explanatory. This table shows the average lysimeter nutrient concentrations in milligrams per liter averaged over the entire year from October 2008 to October 2009. There's a lot of data here, so I'm going to try to pull out some key points here. First off, pH 6.8, very neutral. Moving into sodium and our some of our nutrients. And of interest, phosphorus and our nitrate and ammonium levels. Especially our ammonium levels are high. Looking at some of our trace metals. And then lastly, our aluminum. This aluminum is high. However, this is the ICAP method. This measures total aluminum. It does not distinguish between any of your divalent or your trivalents. And we also know that aluminum will complex with other compounds. And we also know that even though all these elements are available to the plant, so the trees are not lacking nutrients, and they're not toxic in any form, or they're not toxic at these levels in this study. So we looked at the presence of sludge, and the typical profile, we had 0 to 24 inches was pure soil. From 24 to 48 inches, we had a mixture of the sludge and the soil, and then at 48 inches and below, we had pure sludge. And we found that soil EC and total carbon serve as an indicator of sludge presence. As expected, our nutrient concentrations at the depth of the lysimeters, these were significantly correlated to our lysimeters for those nutrients. This was confirmed with both the total and water extractable elements. Looking at tree growth, on your y-axis, you got the average height of the tree in feet versus the lysimeter on your x-axis. This is the lysimeter EC in microsiemens. We find a significant correlation, and the slope of the line is low, but it is significant. So going back to the sludge presence and our tree height, we wanted to look at what was going on there. So we categorized this into two groups. We had group one, sludge presence within 36 inches, and group two, no sludge presence within 36 inches. 36 inches was our cutoff because we knew we had our roots were within that range. And so we wanted to contrast tree height for the presence of sludge, and we found there was a significant interaction of sludge and of the contrasting of the sludge and the tree height. We said with both trees, the cottonwood and the sycamore were higher when sludge was present. And this was significant at the 0.001 level. So in conclusion, we found no visible growth problems after two growing seasons. Our soil core nutrient, our nutrient concentrations and were related to our lysimeter concentrations. Our sludge was not equally distributed, and we had three categories, none, mixed, and pure. Soil EC and our total carbon, they serve as indicators that sludge is present. And this resulted in variations in our tree growth. And we found no changes in groundwater chemistry since we closed the lagoon. That's really it. I'll take questions now. Yes, sir.
Questions for Elliot.
Were these pigs fed rock star sound?
Say it again.
Were these pigs fed rock star sound? I was thinking you might be checking for arsenic if the pigs received our rock star sound.
I was told that they weren't.
Okay.
By the end of the there.
I test it for fun anyway. You got an ICP.
Yeah, that's always fun.
That's true. At least for us.
Yes, sir. We have not seen anything like that with the trees. You know what? I don't think I understood the question.
Well, if you've got sludge and you've got a soil layer on top, are you expecting there to be some subsidence or slumping in the soil?
We haven't observed that. And we're also talking about 3 feet of soil above the sludge, or 4 feet of soil. So we're not seeing any depressions or sinkholes or anything along those lines. We have not observed that.
How thick was the sludge?
12 inches. No, two foot.
It was about, the depth, depending on where you were in the lagoon, it was anywhere between 2 and 3 feet. And we put about 5 feet of soil on top of that. But I think it is actually a possibility that as the roots begin to interact with that sludge, you get oxygen into the system, you get organisms, you get the rhizosphere effect, that sludge could begin to degrade. I think it's a possibility that it could subside.
But we haven't seen that yet. Our roots are really about the 3-foot level.
Keisha, you had a question?
Yes. Our results on that, we have submitted a bunch of samples to our lab to look at those. But when we initially took our samples, we didn't see any changes in our groundwater. And so we're looking for the second year of having this data set, and we're waiting on the lab to get those results back to us. If you would like, I can take your information and send you that answer when we get the results.
Any other questions? Elliot. All right. Thank you, Elliot.